And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Glovers Cast. It was 6,909 days ago that Yeovil Town lifted the League Two title in front of a packed out Huish Park. On day 6,910, that streak could be over. We will underline, we will capitalize, we will bold and italics the word could, because it all depends on how Yeovil Town get on against Worthing. We need a few things to dissect. It's been a week, both at Huish Park, down at the Bob Lucas, and at Dover. And, well, we need to dissect all of it and what that means ahead of this weekend. Dave, you were in Weymouth.
I certainly was.
You're going to be
a long way from where I am now.
You are planning to be at Huish Park.
I am. If the distant Glover, we will be the distant Glovers travelling from the northwest of England. If Alex gives me there in one piece, I'll be there. Storm Kathleen might have a word to say about it, whoever she is.
In that case, if you're still a questionable because of Kathleen, one man who I know will be there in the Thatcher stand, enjoying the festivities and hopefully seeing a trophy lift. Chris Fox. Foxy joins us again. Foxy, how are you, good sir?
I'm very well, thank you very much, Ben. How are you?
I'm delightful. All the better for speaking for you. It's been a week and it ain't half done. We got some more things to get stuck into. We do need to kind of rewind a little bit and talk Weymouth. A Monday like no other, I imagine, Dave, down on that south coast. It had everything. It had things that many people haven't seen before. When you fired up the car, considerably earlier than you had planned to fire up the car, what were the immediate thoughts going in your head as you rejoined the motorway north?
What happened there? it was surreal at times, familiar at other times, and frustrating at other times. I'll be honest. When I got there, I was I was feeling a little bit nervous, but that was probably just because it felt like a big game because of how many people were there. I mean, when I walked in the ground at just about 12 o'clock, an hour before kickoff, the end behind the goal was pretty well packed already. So when I took my position there, you could really feel that it was a big game. And they delayed the kickoff by 15 minutes. There was, I think, only one turnstile on the Yeovil end, so it may have had something to do with that. Can I give credit where it's due? I don't know. Can I? No.
Well,
okay.
Have to give some credit to them in a minute because they've been quite nice since then. So if you have to give credit, give credit.
Well. All right. I'll say lots of lost, bewildered looking souls accidentally wandered into the home end. But there was a fair number of them, I have to say. I mean, obviously, only about the same number that had to make the journey south. But yeah, it was a good crowd. Let's put it that way. I was feeling a little bit nervous. And I have to say that for certainly the first hour of that game, I wonder whether some of our players felt it a little bit. We'd spoken before the game about we'll rise to the big occasion. Will Weymouth rise to the big occasion? They looked like they knew they were in a derby far more than we did. And that might have been us playing our game, playing our control possession, but they were up and at it. They were in our faces. They were the better side for an hour, and it pains me to say it, but they were.
Chris, you were listening, and I was watching this game unfold. How was it but I was doing so in silence because there was no audio attached to the stream. How was it being played out on air? Was it the dulcet tones of Sheridan and Wheely that you were listening to?
I was indeed, yes. I was listening to both of them. And yeah, it just felt, even for me on the listening on the radio, it just felt like it was a nervy game, and it was a derby, but it just sounded, you know, that it was going to be a mistake that was going to break the deadlock, or a something out of nothing goal that was going to break the deadlock either way. You know, it didn't sound like we were having one of our better games. And from messages from people that were there, yeah, we weren't playing our normal free-flowing stuff that myself and Dave had seen a few days before at Hewish Park against Torquay.
Yeah, strange juxtaposition that, isn't it, between the two games, how dominant we were against Torquay. For what it's worth, I thought we were tepid. I don't feel like we at any point were bad. We made one mistake for the goal, where the ball just finds its way into some silly amount of space on the left-hand side of the area. Nice finish, but should never have been allowed to get there. I just never felt like we were in worlds of trouble. I've always had this thing of home teams are allowed to have the ball. They're allowed to have possession. They're allowed to create, not necessarily chances, but dangerous movements. Of course they are, they're at home. But I never felt worried, you know?
I don't think I felt too worried about what they were going to do. I was more worried about the fact that we didn't do anything.
That's,
I think,
probably
that was
fair.
That was what concerned me. And I think it's fair to say, we mentioned before the game about the Ollie Thomas that we've seen coming off the bench in games and what an impact he can. And Foxy would attest that when he came on against Torquay, he looked lively. You know, he could have had a goal himself in that game. He looked lost against a Weymouth defence, which was physical, shall we say. But it one thing that stuck out to me was both him and Nublai, every time they got the ball, they had their backs to goal.
Yeah.
And we couldn't turn them. Yeah, exactly. We couldn't turn them. And every time we played the ball forward, they were getting to the ball first. I say, I do have to give him some credit because they looked far more up for it. I don't know if you remember, I can't remember which one it was, but I remember their fans going crazy about their manager at the time. I think it was Brian Stock saying, it's kind of like a derby against Yeovil, not realising that it was. And it did rather feel like we didn't realise the significance of it. And I can't believe for a second that we didn't, because you can't turn up to an away game, even one that is only, 30 miles away, and see 2,000 people there and not realise the significance of it. So I'm sure we did realise it, but that did not translate into our play.
Do you feel that the announcement of a new manager that morning would have made a sort of difference? Because they've not really had an actual manager in for, what was it, a week or two?
A couple of weeks, yeah.
A couple of weeks, isn't it? Whether they wanted to try and impress
the new
manager.
Yeah, yeah. And that you're right. There's a fair point. They could say that. I mean, the announcement, they'd obviously, you know, held on to that, hadn't they, till the match day. I'll be honest with you, he came out before the game. And when you watch the video on the
it's hilarious
on the Yeovil, all you can hear is the Yeovil fans singing "Who are you?"
Yeah,
it's hilarious.
I don't think it didn't feel like, oh my god, he's back, because I know he won this league with them, didn't he? When he was there, or was it the sub? I can't remember. He won something with them, didn't he?
I think he did win it, but didn't he leave?
Yeah, and then he went to South Bend, didn't he?
Circumstances where I think a few Weymouth fans had seen when the announcement happened, they were a bit, back.
Yeah, so, it didn't feel like that gave them much of a lift, but it's a fair point, Foxy, that their players could have been thinking about impressing him. But, yeah, I say for an hour of that game, for my money, they were well worth their 1-0. I mean, the best thing for me that happened certainly in the first half was the appearance of Reece Murphy off the bench, because he up front was a completely different challenge for them than Ollie Thomas. They could bully Ollie Thomas, and they did a little bit. And they kept Nublé quiet, and I think against Torquay, that was the our big strength was him picking up the ball wherever he bloody well fancied against Torquay, and doing things with it, and he never really did that against Weymouth. Murphy gave him more of a threat. Now he not fit. I don't think he's fully fit. Yeah. He can't be fully fit, and he's got enough tape on his legs to tell you that he's not. But yeah, that was the most pleasing thing, because he came on, was it like five or six minutes before half time, didn't he?
Yeah, not far before that. Yeah, Jordan Stevens going down, feeling a tight hamstring. We don't know how Jordan Stevens is. No. Wasn't mentioned today an awful lot, so hopefully he'll be okay. Let's talk about the abandonment. We need to talk about the where's, the why's, the should nots. First things first. Hayley Singleton was the lady that unfortunately fell ill on that day. A couple of things have jumped out at me recently. Firstly, she's out of hospital, out of the ICU. She had a comfortable night in the ICU and she's now out. That's good. We're going to do that thing again where we praise Weymouth. They invited her down to wish her well and say thanks. She could say thanks to them and they could say thanks to her and all the rest of it. That was a nice touch. Thought that was good. And the only other thing that mentioned, Mark Cooper after the match said that Tony, the paramedic, was with her at the time. And I think that just goes to show that actually, you know, people involved in the football team were otherwise occupied during that time. And any idea for me that you can simply go on and start a game of football so quickly after those kinds of things happen, it just doesn't seem to make an awful lot of sense to me. Dave, take us in that way and how I mean, I've never seen a helicopter land on a pitch before, certainly not mid-match. I've certainly not seen anything like that happen. We had it, didn't we? Was it last season when a fan fell ill and sadly passed away?
At Bromley, wasn't it? Yeah.
Bromley. So it has happened to us as a club. What was going through your head?
Yeah, well, it was a bit bizarre, because nobody, I was stood as we were looking with the goal in front of us, I was stood to the right of it, and what was happening was on the left hand side. So it was away from where I was, and you know how it usually is when you're either shouting from a crowd or you suddenly see all these people in high-vis jackets rushing towards a certain area. None of that happened, and it was literally the linesman on the side where the main stand is there came on, spoke to the referee, and then you just saw Reece Murphy waving everyone off the pitch, and no one could really work out what was going, because it wasn't anything obvious from where we were. So everyone around me was a little bit bemused as to what was going on. And then it became clear that there was an announcement made that there was going to be a suspension in play. And then you could see lots of people looking down in the direction of where it was. But we still had no idea what was going on, obviously. You kind of make the assumption that somebody had been taken ill and that's what it was. But it wasn't like there was a big commotion. So we were obviously all waiting around thinking, well, the game's going to restart. Because, you know, right, even when the helicopter landed on the pitch, there was no sign that the game was going to get abandoned. Even that was a bit of a strange one, because usually it lands on the pitch and you think, well, it's going to stay there and take whoever it is away. But it didn't. it kind of got, and it was the sort of, probably, maybe I'm being a bit unfair, but they rather casually walked out of it. And it was like, they didn't seem to be in a rush to go anywhere, these paramedics. It's not like they were, like in the movies, they weren't legging it towards the stand. They had some kit with them, which looked like it could have been a defibrillator or something like that. Obviously, I don't know what actually happened, but they had some stuff with them, and then they went into the stand where presumably she was getting treated, And then nobody heard anything. You saw players kind of like wander in and wander out onto the pitch, and then you won it. And then they said that the game was going to restart. So everyone's like, right, okay, well, we'll wait around here. And we were a bit surprised at that point because of the length of time. I mean, I think when they announced it, it was over 20, maybe 25 minutes had elapsed in that time. And I think it took about maybe 40 minutes after they stopped the game to before they announced that it wasn't. But it was really only because there were a few people around me who had long car journeys. I had to drive back to Blackpool that night. So I don't think anyone had a longer car journey than I did who were like, well, should we go? Is it going to get a corner? And then you just saw a steward put his finger to his ear and then go, no, it's off. No, it's off. And I said, he's saying it's off. And then someone I was with ran down and asked him. And yeah, he said the game was off and everyone started streaming out. So there wasn't really that much, drama. You kind of expect if something like that's happened, apart from the helicopter landing on the pitch, which I've never seen.
That is drama.
Like
that is
yeah,
dramatic.
Yeah, yeah. That was a surreal moment. And apparently it didn't stick around because they were worried it was going to damage the pitch. That's what they said. But I mean, you know, priorities and all that. But you could hear sirens. You could hear obviously ambulance sirens going off. So, you just kind of assume that the person's been taken to the right place. Someone did say the helicopter was going to come back. I never saw it come back. So because I as soon as they said it was off, I was legging it towards my car and ready for the M5. But then you obviously then wonder what has happened to that person. So I think it was on Monday, sister posted on the Cider Space Facebook page that she'd had a good night, or good night, as good a night as you can do in ICU in Dorchester Hospital. So yeah, and then it was obviously nice to see her down at Weymouth, looking fit and well. So yeah, hopefully she'll recover suitably, and maybe have a smile on her face when she's down at Weymouth if we go down there again this season, which we don't know anything about at the moment either, do we, as to what's going to happen with that game. But yeah, bizarre in a lot of different ways, I think it'd be fair to say.
Very bizarre. I'm not sure I can add anything more to that other than to say on the stream there was no commentary, but there was background noise in behind wherever the camera was. Yeah. And I see the linesman run on, I see the players come off, and then the camera just pans around the entire the three stands that it can see, just pans around the lot. And I'm thinking, don't show me something I don't want to see.
No.
Don't show me. I don't need to see people like you're saying. I don't need to see people sort of scrambling around, or heaven forbid, actual treatment being given. I don't show that.
No.
And then the camera drops. It goes back to that slate, that holding screen slate. And but the audio remains, and all I can hear is people going, there's an ambulance outside. Is the ambulance outside? What do you mean there's an air ambulance coming? And then I go onto Twitter and someone says there's an air ambulance coming.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hang on a minute. And that's when I start to realize this is more significant. Hayley's okay. She's out of ICU. She's on the mend. That is good news. There's a bucket collection on Saturday. If you go into Hewish Park for the Dorset air ambulance, if you can get involved.
Dorset and Somerset Air Ambulance.
Sorry, Dorset and Somerset Air Ambulance. Obviously very good. It's a charity we've used before, if I remember correctly, with the Darren Way van crash.
Oh, right, yeah.
So it's something that the club has been sort of touched by before in terms of charitable use. So if you are in a position to do some digging down the back of the sofa to find what remains of cash in today's society, very, very good. Let's talk about the football implications of it then, if I can, Foxy. Do you think we should replay the game? Do you think it will be replayed? It's getting very close to the end of the season.
I think it's really tricky at the moment, and I think they seem to be waiting. It feels like they're waiting on a decision on the outcome of Saturday.
It's a cynical thought. I think you're bang on.
And I think that's the National League probably doing that, where I just think it's just waiting on Saturday's results to see if it's going to be replayed. And it could well be, you know. We have seen it in the past where, obviously, Scunthorpe games, it's Scunthorpe versus Buxton, I think, this season, where it was in the 91st minute or something ridiculous like that, and that game was replayed.
Yeah.
It just feels that they're waiting to see if this could mean something in the title race.
So I agree with that level of cynicism, and I'm a very cynical person when it comes to this kind of stuff. Here's my thought process, and I appreciate that these scenarios are unlikely. If Weymouth stay up on goal difference, now as it stands, they are 11 points from the drop. They're almost certainly fine. But if it was to be closer and say Weymouth stay up on goal difference, Dartford were to go, Dartford would have a case to say Yeovil could have equalised. Yeovil could have come back and won. And I actually agree with Mark Cooper, but we were in the ascendancy at the point the game was halted. Similarly, here's an argument for you. If Weymouth were to go down on goal difference, could they not turn around and say, we want the chance to play that again in case we win 3-0? Like, there is that argument to it. And I'm not sure if it makes massive amounts of difference in terms of where you finish has financial implications. So the top team gets this much in prize money, the 13th team gets this much in prize money. But there is an argument that you should play every game out in its entirety. There's still that Slough versus Bath game to be rearranged. That's never been sorted, is it?
No.
So, in terms of...
presumably they get the... You talk about them being on goal difference. They haven't got the points at the moment, have they?
No, but they've got... They're 11 points clear.
Yeah.
As it stands.
But if they needed the points, they needed 3 points.
Yeah.
They'd want to play it, wouldn't they?
Yeah. It's part of it is fitting it in. There were 3 dates that I spotted, and Hugh has spotted one of them the same as me that I think made sense. One was tonight.
Right.
A really quick turn it round, probably behind closed doors because of police and all the rest of it, and just try and get it done. Secondly, was the Monday the 15th or Tuesday the 16th of April. There are some games on Tuesday the 16th. Truro, Taunton, Western Super Mares and Albans all have home games on that night. Obviously, none of them are Weymouth. I wonder if it'll go on Monday. Weymouth then play Truro on the Thursday the 18th, 48 hours later. So there's an argument that Weymouth will be unhappy with the 16th because then they've got a game 2 days later. So that's why I think Monday the 15th comes in here, because if we've won the league, we turn around and go, have it on Monday the 15th, we don't care. Have it 48 hours after we all play on the Saturday, and so they can have that extra day. If they want the extra day for Thursday, you crack on.
What we say to them is, we'll play on the Monday, but you've got to give us a guard of honour.
Yeah,
and we'll beat them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I want. I want us to replay it just so we beat them, and then they can't say, oh, well, you might have got up as champions, but we beat you, you know.
If I see another tweet, saying that they've got Frank Newbell in their pocket or something.
Yeah,
like
exactly. Yeah, no, I want to see that that battle again. That could be interesting. Yeah, that won't have gone unnoticed.
But there are no other dates. The season ends 4 days later on the 20th.
Yeah.
So
we've seen Taunton obviously going to Gloucester now, haven't we? So they're obviously, they've been told that you got to fulfil your fixtures. We're not extending the season, haven't you? So can't be one rule for one and another rule for another, can it?
Exactly. We are getting to a bit of a tangent on that Taunton thing, but I'm starting to lose sympathy, if the truth be told. I really am. This should have been sorted out months ago.
Yeah.
I have no sympathy. I'm losing sympathy on Truro playing 2 games in 48 hours. No, it's not good for them at all. And for the players involved, no, of course it's not good.
Take some responsibility.
But don't ground share with the two worst pitches in the southwest of England.
Exactly.
Cabbage Field
1 and Cabbage Field 2.
Exactly. Yeah. The weather has been horrendous in this part of the world, but Western Super Mare have managed. Chippenham have managed.
Yeah.
We've managed. Yeah. Torquay have managed. You know, this is not, you aren't the little runt of the litter over there. Western Supermare are comparable to the Tauntons, and they've
no full-time groundsman there, is there?
No, exactly. So I'm losing sympathy by the minute on those things. I think it will be replayed in full. My guess is that we'll go Monday the 15th to give them the extra day ahead of that Thursday. Would be my stab in the dark, I think. Right.
Worthing.
Mm-hmm. We need to sort the maths out again. Should we do the maths? Should we do the maths first? Can we get the maths out?
You go for it. I'm not the man for the maths.
At its most simple, win and it's over. Win and it's over. Now, as we all know, it is not always that simple. Of course it's not. But Dover beat Chelmsford, which means that now we only have to match or better what they do against Slough.
Chelmsford, that is, not Dover.
Chelmsford, yes.
Yeah.
At the moment, they can get to 88 points. They've only got 3 games left. If they were to draw and we were to draw, it would mean that they would sort of, that maximum number for them would drop accordingly to 86. We would draw and go to 87. So we only have to match or better Chelmsford. It is that simple. If we lose and they lose, it's still all over, which sounds ridiculous. But hey, there we go. It's not going to be easy on Saturday, but it feels like a game that's made for us, I think. Big match feel at home, just like Torquay. I wonder if Worthing think they're safe for the playoffs. And I wonder if they not take their foot off the gas, but recognise that they could lose this one and win their next 3. I'd be absolutely fine. They play Dartford, St Albans and Western Supermare after they're done with us. What do we think? Foxy, you're going, you're there. What do we think for the weekend?
I think it's going to be a lot trickier than everyone is sort of thinking. Like, when you look at social media, it's sort of the big, this is it, the title decider. Let's get the 3 points. And I love the confidence, I really do. I think it's going to be a tricky game. But I also feel that the players that we've got and the big game players that we've got, the experience that we've got in that team, who have been there or thereabouts, obviously, you know, you've got Big Frank, you've got Reece Murphy up there, you know, you've got Alex Whittle, I know he won't be playing. You've got Michael Smith, you've got Worthington, you've got big game and big experienced players who, although some probably haven't ever tasted promotion, have been in big games and have been in better leagues than what we are at the moment. And you would hope that they would have some calm heads, like Mark Cooper sort of said today in his interview, you know, it's just another game, which I do like. I think the atmosphere is going to be really, really good again, yeah, like it was on for Torquay.
Can I just stop you there? Because you've seen pretty much most of the home games this season. Yeah. And I want to know where Torquay ranks, where that home atmosphere ranks, because we've seen big crowds and we've seen crowds that get a bit moany and crowds that get a bit on their backs, and we've seen smaller crowds be really positive. We've seen a drum, we've seen no drum. Like, where does that rank for you this season?
I'd probably say it's probably the best atmosphere we've had all season in that. And it's not just because Dave was stood next to me either.
I do generate an atmosphere of my own, you know.
No, I would have said that was probably, obviously we've had some big games, you know, big results at home this season. Obviously, Taunton at home. That was a really good atmosphere. That was a big crowd. And that was a really, really good performance. I think it was probably, I would say it's probably on par. Taunton and Torquay at home, probably the best atmospheres and the most positive atmospheres as well, because I know we've had Weymouth at home as well this season and we beat them. I don't know, with Weymouth, it's the songs, the atmosphere all revolves around this rivalry that we've got with them. And
he did the air quotes,
ruined,
folks. He did the air quotes ruined, for rivalry.
And that ruins it for me. I just felt that Taunton and Torquay games were the better of the atmospheres for me.
And I think the point that you make there about the fact that regardless, because there was, particularly in that first 10 minutes where they wanted to kick us off the pitch, there was a lot of sideways, there was a lot of backwards, there was a lot of things that in other games people would have got on their backs about. And I didn't hear a huge amount of that, certainly from where we were stood. And I think that shows, and I know there's always this, I hate the cliche, oh, you're the 12th man and all of this, but it does show how a positive attitude and a positive crowd, players can feed off that in the same way that they'll feed off a negative attitude and a negative crowd. And that genuinely was the case on Good Friday against Torquay.
How important do you think it's going to be that this environment is going to be only about us? Weymouth, it's been, like you say, Foxy, a bit of the rivalry back and forth. We've had Taunton, it's the sort of the back and forth there. Bath City was another good one. Torquay was another good attendance. This is the first plus 5,000 attendance, plus 6,000 attendance that will be 100% about us. We actually don't care about Worthing. Worthing don't particularly care about us. It's not going to be about beating them, you know, what's in claret and blue. It's not going to be about giving Bath City up the road what for, and Torquay and Gary Johnson and them going down, all the rest of it. It's just about us. And I think that's going to make a massive difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the all you can say to anyone who is going to be in attendance is exactly what you did on Good Friday. Mm. Do it again. Yeah. Do it again, and do it louder, and do it longer, and make even more atmosphere. Because Mark Cooper mentioned in his press conference on Thursday that the players do feed off of that energy, and I can absolutely believe that they do. And if we do have people who are maybe, you know, feeling a couple of butterflies because of the big occasion, knowing that they've got that many people, Foxy's got the odd butterfly as well. Yeah, knowing that all those people are there for you, and Foxy, I'll be there for you, mate. Don't worry.
Oh,
yeah, I'll give you a hug.
I'll be
it's
fine. There for you.
There you go. I've got those.
When the rain starts to pour.
No, I don't want any rain. Don't want any rain. Because I can't see rain, as you know. Yeah, I won't see the rain, even if it does fall. So
I didn't see the rain either, by the way.
No, there you go. You see, it wasn't just me. It's just us old fellas. We just don't notice these things. But so I think it shows how important we can be. And I would urge everyone who's there to do exactly what they did on Good Friday if they were there. And if they weren't there, do it again.
Morgan Williams scored a 97th minute winner in the reverse leg. Can you imagine the scenes? Just allow yourself the next 14.8 seconds to imagine the scenes of a 97th minute winner.
I'm off. I'm on the pitch.
He's on the pitch.
I was going to say, we're going to be on the pitch.
Morgan scores. We're on the pitch. Yeah.
It's
or Fisher. Fish.
That's right. Can I just rewind, by the way? When we had Fish on in the pre-season, big season preview, I joked to him. He said, we asked about whether or not he had any targets or sort of things in mind. And he said, oh, I have, but I'm not going to tell anybody, blah, blah, blah. And I joked and I said, I think in Alex Fisher's head, he's just scored the last minute winner away at Weymouth on Bank Holiday Monday to win us the league. Now, don't tell me for a second. We were in the ascendancy. He was about to come on and Dover beat Chelmsford. That was happening.
Could be.
We'll never know.
Shoulda.
Yes. Should we do some questions? and get out of here and stop tempting fate in this horrible way in which we are.
Yes. Do you want me to find the questions?
I think I have Twitter here to hand. Could you find the old Facey B, please?
Go on. You do Twitter and I'll find Facey B.
Alex Russell, not that one, Distant Glover, he of awesome drawings. Buy his new book, available via his website. If you were giving someone you didn't know very well a 450-mile lift to and from the Welling game, it's Worthing, by the way. Don't go to Welling, Alex. Please don't take our Dave.
Done that already. I don't want to do that again.
Don't know. Should you tell them in advance about your chronic sulfuric flatulence? Asking for a friend. How are you feeling about some sulfuric flatulence? Well, flatulence.
I haven't told him about my irritable bowel yet, but yeah, no. But
it's
I'm
gonna be a gassy car.
I'm not taking Ben with me. So no, it's yeah. I am sure, Alec, and he's even offered me the hire of his the use of his driveway. So I'm driving to Manchester to meet him, and I don't know if Mrs. Distant Glover, who I assume that is her actual name, knows about that. But yeah, sulfuric flatulence. If we win the league, I'll take it. Give me sulfuric flatulence any day.
There's the title. and on that note, Harry Dunford, is anyone driving to and from London on Saturday? This is obviously going out on Friday. If you are able to contact @_Dunners, D-U-N-N-E-R-S, that would be really grateful. It's train strikes, isn't it?
Yeah, and I have to say, so my original plan, because I drove, as I've whinged about already, from Weymouth to just outside of Blackpool, and the one thing that I decided I wanted to do less than miss the game was make that drive again. I did not want to do it. And I wouldn't have done it for anything. So I actually booked train tickets and got sold train tickets from Preston to London and then London Waterloo to Yeovil Junction. And then on Tuesday, got a message saying train strikes. All the trains out of London are cancelled down into Yeovil. The one from Preston to London might have got me there. So I had the same thing. And then I thought, then I started looking at, could I get to Taunton? And it is a nightmare. So God bless Alex, the Distant Glover, for his offer, which I'm, I'll take your sulfuric flatulence. But yeah, Harry, best of luck. I mean, there are lots of capital Glovers about. Mm. I can't believe that one of them isn't going. So hopefully somebody out there can give Harry a chance.
Can you as us?
Yeah.
As our social media. As our social media guru, can you retweet that
and get the word? It was retweeted. It was retweeted. You might have retweeted it.
I didn't do it.
No, somebody did. It has been retweeted. And the club have put it out there as well.
I will say that Dave was actually looking at train times while watching the Torquay game.
I was
on Monday.
I was looking at trains. I was, geez, because I thought, well, yeah, even if we get, because I never saw that result of Dover coming, never.
No, me neither. I listened to the last 10 minutes of that.
Yeah.
And all the Chelmsford guys were talking about was this hoodoo against Dover keeps rolling on. We never beat Dover, do we? And I went, well, you could have mentioned it.
Yeah. Do you want to know something first? Something strange. So about a minute or 2 minutes before Weymouth scored, I got a DM through from the National League telling me I'd won a streaming pass for that day, for Monday's games. And I'm like, I'm at the bloody game. And I can get a signal for Love the Money at Weymouth. I don't think telecommunications have got that far. But so I tried to say, well, can Ben have it instead? And then I messaged you, didn't I? And I said, do you want to watch Dover Chelmsford instead? So, it was a bad few minutes for me, that learning.
Unfortunately, that the competition ended at 1 p.m. as we kicked off. I don't want to have to splurge my £9.50. Foxy, one for you here, mate. Michael Calverley asks, how massive are we on a scale of 1 to massive?
Well, the rule is 1 to 7.
Yeah, but
it's the Glover's car, so
he's given us here a 7, the most
seven,
massive.
But we are massive, I think. Yeah.
Well, that's fine.
And do you know, I've heard that we are massive everywhere. So wherever we go, we're massive there. Where it is. Yeah.
I'm sure I've seen that on a sticker.
Yeah, me too. And if you haven't, you can buy them. go to gloverscast.co.uk /.
There aren't many left.
Yikers. No?
There aren't many left. DNZY, who is also known as DNZY Official. If we had lost to Weymouth, despite the Chelmsford result, or if we were to seal the title against a half-dead Truro side on Thursday, would it take the gloss away from the title-winning season? That's a one-word answer.
No.
Correct. No, it absolutely wouldn't. I'll say this. And if I say it into the world, into the atmosphere, if it should roll over to Thursday, I finish at 4 o'clock and Gloucester is almost exactly a 3-hour drive from where I am. I know I shouldn't be thinking about it.
See you there.
But you are.
I'm thinking about it. Thinking about doing something silly. No, it doesn't take the gloss off for me. It's just get it over the line. I don't think people will remember specifically if it was at Truro. They'll remember the Worthing one. If it is at Worthing, they'll remember the Worthing thing. Of course they will. If it's at Truro, if it's Dartford the week after, if it's Dover on the final day, they won't remember those moments. They'll remember thrashing Torquay 3-0. They'll remember the Pink Day. They'll remember doing Weymouth, doing Taunton, tearing Avely a new one in the first half. They'll remember the whole thing. It's an interesting question, but I think it's a fairly simple answer for me. No. No.
No.
ProPilot, Mr. ProPilot, says, evening, possibly in a Unai Emery voice, is promotion to League Two a realistic goal next season off the back of the quotes that Martin Hellier has had this week and saying he has a medium to long-term plan to get into the EFL. What's your retain list for next season? We're going to do that at the end of the season like we normally do. We're not going to touch that just yet. We're not there. And have you ever been in the Yeovil away end for a home game? If not, would you be open to it? You ever gone with a mate into the away end at Hewish Park?
No.
I don't think I have.
No. You've got, we have opened, I'm sure, I can't remember when that was, but we have opened the away terrace for home fans. And again, yeah. I'm not sure if that was the conference or whether it was the League Two title, but I am positive that we opened up the away terrace for home fans, but I've never gone in the away end.
No. I have stood there when there were games going, when there was a game going on, but never for a long period of time. I sold programmes for a period, and I used to wander. I've wandered through there a few times.
There you go. You have been a home fan in a Yeovil game, though, haven't you? In a Yeovil away game during lockdown, you saw Noisfield get injured
that's
badly,
right.
Didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, that Altrincham game. Yeah, I did. You're right. Yeah. Me and Gareth from Altrincham went to that game, but I can't think of any other occasion off the top of my head where I've been in the wrong part of the ground.
Probably Aldershot.
Probably.
Come on.
Probably.
Every time I've been to Aldershot, I've been in the OA end. When Yeovil were playing there. Obviously I was a season ticket holder for many years, but yeah.
Obviously.
There was something at the start of that question before the retainer thing.
Oh, is there a promotion to league? Is promotion to League Two a realistic goal next season? Is the word he uses?
No, I don't think so.
I think it'll be very tricky.
Yeah.
For us to jump straight through, because I still think there are some very good teams, and I know listening to the podcast a few weeks ago, I remember Dave, you mentioned obviously mid-table would be, you. If we did go up, mid-table would be something that would be a good achievement for us that first season. And yeah, I would be well on board with that. We've got some very good players. I think we've got some very good players at the National League level. I think it's also going to be, if we did go up, it would be a different kettle of fish to what we've seen this season, where we've had to try and get through small gaps when we're attacking. I think there's going to be teams that are going to be coming at us rather than the other way around, which could play into our hands. But I think that we probably need to strengthen quite, not significantly, but we would need to strengthen in some key areas of the pitch, even to probably even get to mid-table, I'd say, next season, if we went up.
I will say this. Next season, I think, is going to be one of the weakest national leagues we've seen in a long time. Genuinely. I'm looking...
Chesterfield going up.
Chesterfield going up, and I guess if second place goes up, it's Barnet. I'm looking at the teams that are left. I'm looking at the teams at the bottom. Wealdstone, Ebbsfleet, Woking, York, Eastleigh. I'm not at Maidenhead. I'm not afraid by any of those. And then you're starting to look at mid-table anyway. Any team that comes up with us, fine. I'm really not overly concerned by some of the names we'll have. And even dropping out of League Two, there's going to be clubs that are going to be struggling. Forest Green and Colchester. I mean, are they going to chuck a huge amount of cash to get out of that trouble? I don't know if they
Sutton
are.
Sutton are still in it, aren't they? Sutton?
Sutton and Grimsby. It's two from four, but I'm not worried by any of those. I'm not, and I just think it would be silly of us to sit here and go, nah, we can't do it. Yeah, we can. It's going to take a lot, but I wouldn't want to rule anything out. A well-supported manager, a well-supported football club with 5,000-6,000 people through a gate every other week. That's a big club at that level. There's potential there. Certainly not expecting it. I don't want to sit here and people thinking, Ben's going to think we're going to win the league next year. I'm not at all. But one good run, like we had at the start of the season, and you're in the mix until you're in the mix until the end of the season, as we found this season. It takes one good run. Doesn't even have to be 14. It has to be 10. And suddenly you're going, right, well, we're in there now. So I wouldn't want to rule it out at this very early stage with the proviso that we add and support and get good numbers and get good deals and all the rest of it. So I wouldn't rule it out, but very early yet. That's X done. Musk has had his way with us.
And there you go. Okay. So on Facebook, I think this might be end of season stuff as well, because Lewis Dunn is asking potential signings for next season's push, existing stay or go, potential realistic targets. Are those? I heard the boys from Three Valleys Radio repeatedly try and get an answer to that out of Mark Cooper, his press conference, and he wasn't having any of it. And I am fully with him. But when we're up, let's talk about being up.
I will say Joe Day is a must.
Yeah, Joe Day would be nice.
I think there'll be. We can't really even give realistic names, I would say, at the moment, because I think a lot of people will want us to say certain names that everyone knows about already. Yeah. And like this season, obviously Michael Smith was probably our biggest signing, and Rhys Murphy, the players that we like, oh, hello. But there was a lot of players that we've signed that before the start of the season, we would have gone, who?
Yeah.
And I think,
I'll be honest with you, I'd never heard of Alex Whittle or Jake Wannell.
No, exactly.
I hadn't even heard of Michael Smith, to be honest with you.
And if they're going on these algorithms and all these are set out, I am more than happy to trust that they will find these people. They pulled Brooklyn Genesini out of their backsides on a minute's notice. So
not many people pull him out of their backside, no. I have to say.
Good.
Dexter Tyson. I'm going to leave the first.
Say the first word. I can see it here. Say the first word. Say it.
When we win the league.
Thank you.
What celebrations have you got planned? Maybe matching tattoos of the achievement.
Before we start that question, on Saturday, Dave said to me that he now believed.
Yeah, now I publicly stated this. Yeah, it didn't get picked up on the last podcast, but no, I had I tweeted it accordingly, so, or X'd it, or whatever you call it these days. So, yeah, and all I got was about bloody time. So there you go.
That from Clevo.
Yeah, it was Clevo. Yeah. So celebrations. Well, Foxy and I have promised to give each other a bunk up to get over the wall of the Thatchers, obviously we don't. We don't
at
condone.
Our age, you might need it.
Exactly. We're going to have to open a gate, I think, somewhere. But yeah, other than that, I've just got a 250-mile drive with a man with the sulfuric flatulence to look forward to because we're going back straight after the game. So, but yeah, if Alex doesn't let me run on the pitch, then I'm walking home, I think. So
I'm at work.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be like, honestly, call in via a William Hill retail shop shortly after the game finishes and hear me just scream down the microphone. Yeah. People won't have a clue what's going on.
Yeah. Including the poor buggers in William Hill. Okay, so that's Dexter's question. Kevin Ash, we'll finish with this one. Who are the best bands? This is probably not one for you, Ben. No, unless you're going to say Shaggy, aren't you? Who are the best bands you've seen live and the worst or most disappointing? So go on then, Ben. You look like you had an answer.
Shaggy is the best.
It's also only.
No, I tell you what I did enjoy here. I went to see, I got a late last minute ticket off a mate to go see Josh Warrington box at Ellen Road. Long time ago,
he told this story before, yeah. But I can't remember what it is.
And we were the way the ticket was, we were basically right next to the stage of the Kaiser Chiefs. They had a thing in the corner of Ellen Road, and so they did the undercard, and then before the Warrington main event, there was just a 40-minute set of the Kaiser Chiefs, and we were right next to it. It was absolutely fantastic. So that one is pretty high up there. I have seen Shaggy. It was brilliant. I loved every second of it. I've also seen Daniel Bedingfield.
Worst or most disappointing?
You have to go worst of the three. Yeah. Of the three, right. That's pretty much my list done, I think.
That's your list. Foxy?
So I've been to Glastonbury quite a few times over the years, but I won't include Glastonbury just yet. But I would say probably the best was, it was quite a few years ago, where Oasis played the Millennium Stadium, and they were supported by Kasabian. So that was, and that was probably when Kasabian were obviously on the rise at that point. That was probably my best gig. That was really good. But then I mention Elton John last year at Glastonbury Festival. Sorry, Ian. I know he wasn't there. That was outstanding. That was really good to see.
Any pensioner you can see in a gold Baco foil shell suit. Yeah, it's got to be seen, isn't it?
Was that me wearing that? Or
well, no, I wouldn't call you a pensioner, Foxy, but, you know, if the cap fits. no, I was talking about Sir Elton rather than you, but
yeah. I can't even think of the worst off the top of my head. I've seen probably some god awful stuff probably at Glastonbury.
Yeah.
In my drunken state. Yeah.
Well, I would include Glastonbury. REM 1999, just because the weather was just amazing. That was one of the first sort of big festival bands that I remember seeing. They were fantastic. Oasis a couple of times I've seen have been brilliant. Probably the most disappointing would be a toss-up between Ian Brown from the Stone Roses, who, when you hear him sing, you realise how good his audio technicians are, because that man has got a terrible, terrible singing voice. And the other one was I saw James Brown supporting the Red Hot Chili Peppers at the Etihad. I can't remember how long ago it was, but he was pretty ropey, James Brown. He was like animatronic, I think. I think he might have died about 5 years before that, and they were just keeping him going. But the really funny thing was, before James Brown came on, they had a warm-up act called Chicks on Speed, and they were terrible. Absolutely terrible, and the crowd booed him. And then the lead singer of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, whose name I can't remember, basically began his set by bollocking the crowd for booing Chicks on Speed. And he went down as a complete knobhead in my mind from there. So, yeah, James Brown, Chicks on Speed, or Ian Brown, take your pick.
Well, there you go.
There you go. And I don't imagine Chicks on Speed had much of a career, I wouldn't have thought. But
I don't know how to go from there.
I don't know. Where do I go from chicks on speed?
I have nothing other to say other than if you're going to Huish Park on Saturday and you two fine gentlemen are, please enjoy it and enjoy it every second of it, no matter how it goes, because I can't and that hurts. But if there's going to be 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 of you there, beat that drum within a life of itself. Sing, chant, do everything you can to get the boys over the line. They've deserved it. You've deserved it. We've all deserved it for a decade of absolute tosh. You're allowed to enjoy these moments. And I really, really hope, whether it is Saturday, whether it is next Thursday, that we really enjoy this moment. So I shall sign off from this edition of the Glovers Cast. Foxy, thank you very much, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Dave, enjoy your sulfuric flatulence. Why can't I say that word? On the way down to Somerset. Have a wonderful, wonderful trip. Safe journey, my good man. Alex Russell, thank you very much for being an awesome dude and taking our Dave along with you as well. Have a wonderful Saturday, Dave.
Up the gloves.
6,910 days. Please, please let this be the one.
It's happening.
And with a quick turn, the skipper, Alex Dock, slams it in.
Lindegaard making Forrest backpedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.